had an older minister one time early in my ministry told me that in afternoon service like this, if people get up and sing before you preach, you can preach another 30 minutes on top of what was normal. So, should have told you all that beforehand. What a wonderful day it has been.
Amen.
Just some wonderful preaching. I told one of the brothers after the sermon this morning, that was good as a sausage biscuit. It was mighty good. Appreciate the wonderful messages this afternoon, and it is comfortable to know that if the Lord chooses not to bless me as much, you will not go home empty. You've already been fed well today. But we certainly pray that the Lord will bless us with a few thoughts. We will be mindful with the time. Try not to try your patience too much here this afternoon. Appreciate Brother Charles's remarks about building. And, you know, we're instructed to build on that foundation with some things that are precious, some things that cost something.
Amen.
You know, hay and stubble and all those are pretty cheap. You don't have to spend a lot for those.
Right.
They don't make a good building, do they?
Amen.
They sure don't. They won't survive the fires. In Luke chapter 17, fairly late in the ministry of Jesus and following one of the demands. I love it in the scriptures, talking at times where the Pharisees demanded of Jesus. They just really didn't know who they were talking to, did they? But they demanded that he would answer them when the kingdom of God should come. And he tells them there in the 20th verse, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So he answered that. And then he turned to his disciples and said, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. Just stop right there and look. In the disciples of Christ, and like the Pharisees, I think it goes back to what the brothers are telling them. They knew what they had been taught, and they'd been taught something was wrong. And they also were looking for Jesus to do something that he was not there to do. Mm-hmm. They were looking for him to establish a natural kingdom. They were looking for the day that he would throw off the rule of the Romans. And they had a desire that, you know, to, as he says, that the days will come when you shall desire to see. They, you know, they had a spiritual interest there. They had a desire, but, you know, they didn't have the truth of the matter, did right. they? They didn't have the right understanding. They came with the thought that he was going to establish this, you know, like he was going to come and sit on David's throne. He didn't sit on any other man's throne, does he?
Right.
He has his own throne, and he occupies that even unto today. He came in this world to establish a kingdom, but not a natural kingdom.
Right.
Oh, what a precious kingdom did he establish.
Amen.
How much better than any natural kingdom that there Amen. Ever has been or ever could be. Natural kingdoms that come and go with the passage of time. Natural kingdoms that are confined by geography or the current power of a man or space or time or people. So he came to establish a kingdom that is not constrained, is not bound by any of those
Amen.
Things. It's only bound by one thing, by the expression of his love in those actions that established those subjects in that kingdom. You know, I think that's why those apostles, until they were given some understanding, they just could not grasp what he meant. He said,
right.
I'm going to have to die.
Yeah, right.
He can't die because he's here to be the king.
Mm-hmm.
He's here to throw off the Romans and to reestablish those good things that we remember hearing about under David. And, you know, he came to establish some things that were so much better than what they had under David.
Amen. Oh, right.
You know,
Amen.
Things that we have here today, Amen. Brothers and sisters.
Amen.
He said, you're going to look to see something and you're not going to see it. And you just need to be careful because people are going to tell you this or that. You rightly divide. You understand that people are going to be telling you things wrong about that day. in God's people. Well, I'm going to get something. Just going to have to hold off just a second. We understand that when, you know, we see that after his resurrection, after word had come to his disciples and his apostles that, you know, some of those women who can trust the women, men ought to pay a little more attention to that, shouldn't they?
Right.
They've been down there and they said, there's a report back. They talked to the angel and said, he's risen. He's not there anymore. And yeah, we just don't believe it. So let's just go to Emmaus. And along the way, he came upon them. And he asked them a question. You know, whenever we see a question from Jesus, we all just stop right there because we ought to pay attention because it's not like he didn't know the answer, right?
Right.
He said, why are you so downcast and so sad? And
right.
I was like, well, you must not be from around here.
Yeah.
That'll be like asking somebody in Tuscaloosa on Sunday who won the Alabama game. This must not be from around here. Haven't you heard all these things concerning Jesus of Nazareth? This one that we had trusted.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and they talked about him being a prophet and a good man. Said they'd already started dropping him down because they were expecting that day that they weren't going to see. He didn't come for that. And they were downcast and sad. And you know, when we get confused about a few of those days, one of the days of the Son of Man, you know, there are certain events that we need to understand. Well, let's finish up with this. Because he walked with them a little while. They went in and had supper. You know, you understand the account. And, you know, when he blessed and broke the bread and revealed himself to them. Oh, what a time that was.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember the first time that Jesus really revealed who he was to you?
Amen.
Yeah. When he revealed himself as your Savior? Oh, well, that was a good thing. They jumped up and they went back. You know, they did an about face to go back and share that good news. But before that, as he was explaining to them, when he said, you're so downcast and sad, you tell me these things about this man Jesus. He says, oh, fools, oh, slow of heart, fools, to not to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things?
Right.
Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? We didn't deserve it.
Right.
You know, there's times my dad said, you ought to do this or you ought to do that. And I should because, but I can tell you, brothers and sisters, that his suffering there was not because of what we had done to obligate him.
Right.
But because his Father set in motion a series of events that required, from the moment that God the Father looked down across time before time was, and he chose each and every one of his children to be the objects of his love. When he bestowed his grace upon you, knowing what we were by nature, knowing that we would be eternally separated and punished, but from that moment that God loved you, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you this afternoon, your eternal salvation was never in jeopardy.
Amen.
Right. You know, people say that God loves the whole world, but I'll tell you what, I just do not believe that the nature and character of God would allow one that he loved to be separated eternally from him.
Amen.
Now, that required some things to happen, brothers and sisters, but I can tell you in that moment that God bestowed his love upon you, when he foreknew you as one, in that intimate relationship where his love and you became his. You know, you were never the devil's.
Amen.
I tell you, I hope you don't be confused. You were never one of the devil's children.
Amen.
Because before you were, in the mind and purpose of God, he loved you and he chose you. And because of that, there's some things that had to be done for you to stand before him in glory. You know, the will of God is written about in the Bible a lot of ways. And you can think about it in different ways. We know there's a permissive will, a suffering will of God. He suffers a lot of things to happen that I hope you believe he didn't cause.
Right.
You know, those old vessels of wrath fitted for the destruction. You know, he is long-suffering with those. There's a will of God that he expresses. A lot of it's in this word. A good brother preached about the Word of God. You want to know about God's will? Read the Bible.
Amen.
You don't need to get up in the morning on a Sunday morning and say, you know what, it's God's will for me to go to church today. Well, I'll tell you, it is.
Yeah.
You can read about it.
Amen. That's right.
Brother Charles has told you a lot of things that God's Word expresses you what His will is.
Yeah. Right.
And I think also that the Holy Spirit directs us in an expression of God's will. Yes. David prayed one time, to teach me thy will, O Lord. I think in my life, what would you have me to do, God? Mm. What is your will? And then I think there is what I'll call the determinate will of God. There are certain things that our God is determined to be.
That's right.
He's not collaborating with us on those things. He's not suffering on not to happen. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, those are the things required for those objects of His love to live with Him forever.
Amen.
And He's made sure that those things that were required were done. Because first off, only He could do those.
Right. That's correct.
I can tell you that across time, there's places in the timeline of life that the Lord's kind of placed. Just give me this liberty. He just placed His finger and said, this is going to happen here at this time in this manner. It's not a coincidence. Our God is not an accidental God. He is
Amen.
An intentional God.
Amen.
And I wouldn't fall out with somebody talking about God's plans, but I just don't really, I like it a lot better that God has a purpose.
Amen.
Right. He is intentional. Amen. Nothing God does is on accident.
Right.
A few of those days. You know, we understand that, this is a God that's able. And if we believe that there's certain things that were required for us to stand before God, holy and righteous before Him in love, in that perfect way that the Bible teaches us about, then once He chose us, there were some things that had to happen. And there were many of these that are, I would like to think about the days of the Son of Man. But see, this is a God that could do those things. In Isaiah chapter 46, it's a lot of good stuff in there. Prophet speaking to Israel, needing to be reminded of some things, reminded of who they needed to trust in. We may get back to that if the clock gives us a little time. But he's telling in verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else.
Amen.
I'm God, there's none like me. You know, this God is unique. There's none other. There's none like Him. And see, what they were trying to do, they were trying to bring Him down to them. A little bit earlier in that same chapter, He says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? You know, a lot of God's children, a lot of the world out there say, well, look over here, go there. Jesus warned those disciples that you're going to want to see them. But you be careful. People are going to be pointing you some things that's the wrong thing in the wrong place. They're going to misdirect or misinstruct you. A lot of what the world wants to do. And it started with the old devil, didn't it, in the garden, you know?
Right.
You know, we just need to bring God down a notch. Try to bring us up a notch. Pretty soon we're just going to be equal, aren't we? Never. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, when you stand before Him in heaven in glorified bodies, He'll be God. He'll still be the Creator and you'll still be the creation. We're not just going to mold into some big life force up there, brothers.
No.
We'll be worshiping Him and He'll be receiving our worship.
Amen.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. You know, when God's talking about these things that have to be done for the eternal security and salvation of my people, I can do them, no one else.
That's right.
And I'll do them. You know, God didn't have to wait for these things to play out for Him to see what was going to happen.
Amen.
I love it. It says He declared the end from the beginning. Now, you can apply that in a few things. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, for whom He did foreknow, then He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And for what I want to talk about this afternoon, I'm going to use that for the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
He declared. Mm-hmm. You know, He didn't inquire. He didn't attempt. You know, He declared. You know, see, God, this God, that there's none like Him. There's none else. The one that says, I am God. You know, that's what. That's another of those good things to preach about a little bit, brother. Just that the I am.
Yeah.
You know what your profession is? The I am sent me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And I'll do all of my pleasure. Days of the Son of Man. Galatians tells us that in the fullness of time, fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. You know, I know that in no respects is God bound by time. God created time.
Right.
It's one of the things in the days of the creation. A lot of times we think about all the natural things that God created. It says, in the evening and the morning were the first day. He created time.
Exactly.
Time did not exist right. before then.
Amen.
Time will not exist once it's served its purpose.
That's right.
We sing a wonderful song that at 10,000 years, well, there won't be 10,000 years
right.
up there, brothers
Amen.
And sisters. It'll just be eternity.
Amen.
We get the point, though. It was not a coincidence nor accident or just a random event that on that day, in that place, and in that manner, that Jesus Christ assumed the flesh of a man. Now there are those that will say, see here, see there. They say, well, it wasn't really a virgin, it was just a young woman. You know, the promise that was made that against those Satanists said that that I'm going to place enmity between the seed of the woman and you. You know, this was the seed of the woman. You know, there's only one seed of the one that was born of the seed of the woman is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Everybody else here is born of the seed of the man.
That's right.
We can all look to our father somewhere or somehow,
right.
but I can tell you, there's only one that's the seed of the woman.
That's right.
There are those that will say, see here, see there. He became the Son of God when he was born in the flesh. No, brothers and sisters, John 1:14 says, and the Word, Jesus Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. It's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, He's always been the Son, always be the Son.
Amen.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You didn't wonder how John begins his gospel. When you see in Matthew and Luke, they establish the humanity, the human lineage of Christ. It's all these things, this begat and that begat, and you can spend a lot of time on that. John says, he was in the beginning.
Amen.
And he was with God, and he was God.
Amen.
He was in the beginning with God. So it's just real simple there, isn't it? But it said, this Word that has always been was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
You know, I hope you have a desire to see that. I hope there in you is a sense to be by an eye of faith to go back and to consider that this was God Himself come into this world for the purpose of suffering and dying for your sins. That this was one that's made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. This is the one that came into this world for that purpose, that He might face another one of those days that were marked. You know, they tried to take His life on many occasions, didn't they?
Right.
On more than one occasion, said, you know, my time has not yet come.
Right.
And He knew when His time was near.
Amen.
And He knew when His time has come. And at that point in time, the Lord just removed that hand and suffered them to do what was in their heart, the wickedness that was in there that they fulfilled in punishing His body and nailing Him to that cross, because that was His time, that was His day. There are many that will look at that and say, well, lo here, lo there. He died for everybody. He died for all of Adam's seed. God loved all the world, and Jesus came to die for everybody. Don't be deceived by that.
No.
You know, they say that He did His part. If you'll just do your part.
No.
That's not what the Bible teaches us about that day. See, the Lord put His finger on that place. He said, there's got to be an atonement. There's got to be a sacrifice. It's got to be perfect. And it's going to be for those that I chose. Those that I foreknew that will be with me in heaven in a glorified state. They got to be justified. They must be made just. One day they'll stand before me in that condition because of what He did on that day, on that mountain, on that cross.
Right.
And when He said there, He said, it's finished. That work was complete.
Amen.
One of the determinate acts of God. I'm sure that it was just a coincidence that He was in the tomb a certain amount of time.
No.
You know, the Lord said, okay, 3 days and nights later, I'm going to put my finger on time again. You know, he didn't tell them. When, you know, those Pharisees, they, like us a lot of times, I guess, you know, when we're always wanting something, we can see with these eyes right here. You know, appreciate Brother Tim talking about the hearing aids up here. That's really a good idea. I like that. But, you know, I've been praying all day, and the Lord's blessed that we'd have a different kind of hearing aids. I think we've all had good hearing aids on today.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit blessing us to hear these things.
Amen. Amen.
They were always looking for a sign, and he said, only one more sign will be given.
That's right.
You know, I've shown all my works. My works testify who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you one more sign. This gentleman was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. I'm going to be, Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. Oh, 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 nights, I'm not sure. No, he didn't say that. Very specific time. Isn't it wonderful, brothers and sisters, when we see that day? Don't you desire to see that? I mean, even his sacrifice on the cross is something we should desire to see, from the sense that we understand and we can truly believe that he died for you and I. You know, I want you to be able to know and to confess and feel that in your heart. You need to be able to say that I do believe that he died for me. You know, his word teaches us that. You know, 1 John tells you some things that you can know. Now, someone says, yeah, I know, but man, say, know anything, know nothing as he ought. Our knowledge is not perfect. But John said, I've written, these things have I written in you that believe on the name of Jesus Christ, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Now, if you wander through life without not having much surety around that, you may go back and see how your house is being built. You may not be on the right foundation.
Right.
Because I can tell you, some of those that say low here, low there, just like those disciples that were going to Emmaus, and they're all downcast and sad because they had been misinstructed. You know, a lot of God's children, when that storm comes, those that have been said, well, he was just a good man. You know, I hope you can say a lot more than that. Hope we can all answer like Peter did, right?
Yeah.
Who do men say that I am? Well, who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
I hope, brothers and sisters, that we know that he came forth from that tomb. And I hope you, as you have a desire, you know those little sisters, I just loved them to death. You know, they got up that morning before it was daylight, and they had prepared. You know, it takes a little preparation. To go and serve the Lord. They had some things they wanted to do for him. And they had a desire. Can you just kind of see in your mind for a moment this afternoon? Them getting up. And I think they'd already prepared some things.
Right.
Actually, I think 2 days before. But that's another discussion.
Right.
But they had those things prepared. And they went to that tomb. But what did they go there for? To anoint a dead body. And I don't think they were joyous when they went.
No.
But they rejoiced when they left.
Amen.
You know, because they'd seen something. They'd seen one of his days, right? That day that he came forth in power and victory from the tomb. They had some good news, didn't they?
That's right.
There's a point, there's a day in the life of every child of God that God does something that only he can do. It's just all by his power. You're not a partner in that, brothers and sisters. I hope that doesn't trouble you, know. He doesn't ask your permission. It doesn't matter where you are, or when you were born, or what condition that you're in. There's going to be a time, brothers and sisters, that he's going to call you from a dead state in sin to a life in Christ Jesus. Every one of his elect will have that. And he is determined. I believe fully. That is not something that is just a happenstance. There's a point in time that God has determined that each one of his individual children, he's going to quicken you.
That's right.
Amen.
And those things that he brings about by his power, because he is God. One more day. Always a good one to end on, isn't it?
That's right.
Of course, a lot of folks, they'll say, look here and look there. The preacher is the instrument of your regeneration. You know, if you'll just sit down and read your Bible and pray, you'll be born again and you become one of his children. And I'll tell you, all of those kind of things, wasn't it? Doesn't work that way. That's one of the acts of God himself.
Right.
You know, God, when he speaks in Romans 8:30 about these things, see, this is a God that can speak about things that have not yet happened, as in the past tense.
Right.
You know, he can talk about them has to be glorified, and even though they hadn't been glorified yet, but in the certainty of the work of this perfect sovereign God, it's as if they already are. It is just as sure as if it has already happened.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of God's children that toss it. Well, on that last day, he's going to come down and he's going to recruit an army. And we're going to have a great battle. And the forces of good and evil are going to go back and forth. And there's going to be some that go here and do this. And no, not going to be that way, brothers and sisters. Amen. You know, see, he is determined how that's all going to be.
That's right.
And he's through with his time on this earth.
That's right. Yeah.
This kingdom that he came down to establish, this spiritual kingdom, is going to be carried up to the Father.
Amen.
You know, he's going to give you the same request that Christ gave Lazarus.
Right.
Just exactly. He's going to ask you if you'd like to come forth from the grave. No, I can tell you, brothers and sisters, on that day, what a glorious thing it's going to be. A shout that will permeate the life of every one of his children.
Amen.
This one that was the creator, that spoke and let there be light, and there was light.
Yes, sir.
This one is going to shout, and I think he's going to shout your name. That's what you're going to hear. There's going to be a trump. And we're going to come forth out of the graves. And we're going to meet him in the air. And we're going to forever be with the Lord. And that will be the last day. You know, there's something else going to happen on that day. All those that he determined not to love, who are still in their sins. You know, the Bible teaches us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And I tell you, God will be glorified in the punishment of the wicked in the same way as he's glorified with the salvation of those that he chose.
Amen. That's right.
You know, God was glorified in the destruction of Sodom. Was it not? In his righteous wrath poured out upon them.
Amen.
I desire to see you that last day. You know, we ought to have a view of anticipation about that.
Right.
You know, brothers and sisters, we should not mourn as those who have no hope.
Right.
You know? The Bible doesn't teach us not to mourn.
Right.
In fact, you know, there's actually some joy in sorrow. That sounds odd to say,
right,
isn't it?
Yes.
But in the right kind of that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
If we can get to the point like the old Apostle Paul did, you know, Apostle Paul was ready to leave this old flesh behind. When he had such an expectation and faith and belief of what paradise was going to be like, and that'll be what a wonderful thing for the Lord to take us out of this old world and carry our souls and our spirits to be with him. That's going to be wonderful. But you know, I guess it's going to be even better when these old bodies are glorified,
right,
and reunited, right, with the souls and the spirit, we live with him there,
yes,
forever. And then we can really sing now a song that,
yes,
says,
sir,
I'll say hallelujah. And you'll say hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll all sing hallelujah.
Amen.
That'll be a good one. God bless you. It's been a wonderful day.
Thank you.